Our scripture reading this morning come from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. You can read along on the screens. Also, you can follow along in your pew Bible or on your own Bible or your electronic device. The first passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 18 through 22. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?'" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." And the second reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As always, it's a great joy to gather together and to worship today. If you're joining us online, I'm grateful for your presence as well. I hope that everybody has the opportunity today in these connections that we make to just take that next step, whatever that next step is, growing closer to who God is calling you to be. I am increasingly convinced that as followers of Jesus, we are invited to live questionable lives. And I am increasingly convinced that this is different from simply being nice or a polite Midwesterner or an upstanding member of society. Those things are important and have value, yes, but they are not defining characteristics of followers of Jesus. As ones who would follow Jesus, we are invited to live in a different way. Different than we used to before we chose to follow Jesus. Different than others in the world around us. In fact, in our DNA as a community of Jesus followers, not just Topeka First United Methodist Church, but the global, universal community of Jesus followers, we have in our DNA this idea that we are sent to go. And somehow, over the course of the last generations or centuries, we've backed off from that. And so this morning, I want to invite you to begin with our reflection on that second text that Heather read. Because in here, in that great story from Matthew's gospel, we find that piece of our DNA. Now, I'm aware that in the slightly more than 3 years that I have been your pastor, this is the text that I have preached on more than any other. It continues to find its way into my thinking and my devotional life and my reflection. I dare say it is haunting me at some level, compelling me and pushing me, helping me rethink what it means to follow Jesus, to be the church, to be pastor. And so again, the setting for this great vignette is after the resurrection. Those followers of Jesus had spent 3 years traveling with this itinerant rabbi, listening to the things that he had to say, watching him perform miracles, being a part of his ministry in those communities, and then over the course of the last week, they had walked an excruciating and exhausting reality. Many of them were present when Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, hung on a cross, being crucified, one of the worst means of execution in the Roman Empire, watched his body be taken from the cross, put into the grave, and then began to hear rumors and to see that on the third day he had risen. And so after that resurrection, he begins to send word through his followers, meet me in Galilee, there's a conversation that I want to have with you. And so as Matthew brings the telling of this story to a close, at the very end of this gospel, Jesus has gathered those followers back together in Galilee and offers them both a challenge and a promise. Again, I invite you to take a look at this text in Matthew 28. If you're carrying a Bible of your own today, whether a real pen and paper or something that you look at on your phone, and you haven't already circled or underlined or highlighted these texts, I'd invite you to do that. They drive our thinking and our DNA as followers of Jesus. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Both the invitation and the challenge to go, and the reminder and the promise that Jesus is with us always to the end of the age. The call of Jesus is to go. The call of Jesus is not to build buildings. The call of Jesus is not to develop programs. The call of Jesus is not to do excellent advertising to attract people to your buildings to participate in the programs. The call of Jesus is to go. And now for the last 100 or 150 years, yes, there were significant seasons of time when it worked to build buildings and develop programs and invite people to come to those buildings for those programs where they could be shaped and formed as followers of Jesus. But I am increasingly convinced in this post-Christian world in which we live, it is no longer effective to simply build a building and have programs and think that through that, the transformation of the world will happen. We are called as followers of Jesus to go. And so for these 5 July Sundays and the weeks associated with them, I have been inviting you into an experiment this summer, inviting you to do a few things, maybe different than you normally do, to do a few things with the hope of living as a sent people who go and share the love of God in all of those places that we work and that we live and that we play. The framework for this conversation comes from a little book by Michael Frost, who is a pastor and professor in Australia. The book is called Surprise the World, 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. If you are interested in reading a copy of this, though we've covered it in pretty good depth these 5 weeks, I have a bunch of copies. I'm happy to share them. If you know somebody that you think might be intrigued by this, feel free to share it. I'd be happy to share copies that way also. The framework that Frost offers for us is a simple acronym to think about BELLS, about what it means to be a people who bless, and his invitation and our push has been bless 3 people each week, at least one of whom is not connected to your community of faith, to eat with 3 people each week who are at least one not a community, a member of your community of faith, to listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit for an intentional period of time set aside each week, to learn as much as we can about this Jesus that we seek to follow, especially by reading the Gospels. And then today we add to the conversation what it means to be a sent people, and specifically what it means to reflect with intentionality and to journal on our sentness. So if you've walked with us through these July Sundays, we began with bless and we've just built. Last week, your homework was to bless and to eat and to listen and to learn. This coming week, your homework is to continue doing all 4 of those and to add to that the reflection on your sentness. Now, if we are a people who Jesus tells to go, by default, we are a sent people. So what are we talking about when we're talking about being sent? The word mission often gets wrapped into these conversations. It has as its origin the Latin root missio, and the Latin word missio means to eject or to push or to send. When we talk about mission and the mission of the church, we are talking about being pushed and being sent. I love the ejected image of that too, right? I think like the ejector seats in the silly old cartoons where Tom and Jerry are chasing each other and get sent up out of the airplane, you know. To unexpectedly, abruptly be pushed to a place where we might not have planned to go and where we might be a little uncomfortable, but to go for the sake of the mission. Now, in the American church, over the last century or two, we have talked a lot about mission as missionaries, as people who exist on other sides of the planet, who we might give financial support to or who we might send to go and to share God's love in faraway places. And as valuable as that is, and as much as that continues to be needed, there is an increasing reality that in our own circles of influence, in those places where you work and live and play, you have family members and coworkers and neighbors who also need to experience and to be told about and to know the love that God in Christ has for them. We are sent. In his book, Surprise the World, Frost talks a little bit about the idea that our living, our lives, the way we tell the stories of who we are and why we do what we do, provide for the world around us a little trailer or a little teaser of the coming reign and rule of God. You understand the image there, right? You go to a movie, and before you actually watch that movie, you see the advertisements for 6 or 7 other movies. 90 seconds, maybe a couple of minutes, that grab the highlights, give you a picture, a basic overview, but seek to entice you and to draw you in so that you want to know more about and see that bigger story. Our lives as trailers or teasers for the coming reign and rule of God show the world around us little snapshots and little glimpses of what that coming reign and rule might look like. Now, I don't know, maybe some of the rest of you play this game. When my family and I go to see a movie, we play a game that we learned from some friends a few years ago. When the previews show before the movie starts, we put our arm out, and then at the end of the preview, we'll either go thumbs up or thumbs down or a sideways thumb, because maybe it's a kind of a yes, I would see that, no way, I have no interest, or I might rent it, you know. But the invitation that I want to invite you to reflect on this morning is, if your life is a trailer, a teaser of the coming reign and rule of God, if your life is painting for those around you a picture of what that coming reign and rule might look like, are the people around you watching the trailer that is your life and giving it an enthusiastic thumbs up because they want to see more? Or are they kind of somewhere in the middle, ambivalent, unsure? Or are they giving it a thumbs down? Thinking, if that's what following Jesus is, I want nothing to do with following Jesus. So I invite you this week to begin reflecting on how you're living, a little taste, a little glimpse, a little trailer of the coming reign and rule of God. So what is this coming reign and rule of God? Could be characterized, of course, in countless different ways, but Frost talks about the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus said and the stories we find woven through scriptures painting for us a picture of that reign and rule of God that will be. He talks about reconciliation as one of the primary modes of that coming reign and rule being experienced. Reconciliation, of course, in that story is the reconciliation of God with us as God's people. But anytime you work for reconciliation in your life, anytime you help neighbors who are estranged or family members who are struggling, anytime you can point somebody towards the reconciliation that happens, it is a small foretaste of the coming reign and rule of God. The justice of God is another one of those ways in which Frost offers us to reflect on that coming reign and rule. In a reality where we say together as a people of Christ followers that the widow and the orphan and the stranger among us have preferential treatment because we remember when we were foreigners in a strange land, the justice of God as a small foretaste of that coming reign and rule. Frost talks about wholeness, and we'll dig deeper with that in just a minute, but the wholeness that people and communities and families might experience. And he talks about beauty. Whenever you experience beauty that takes your breath away, it's a sign of that foretaste, the coming reign and rule of God in our midst. Whenever you're able to talk about, to reflect on, to point people towards those things, you are living your sent-ness. Now, I'd also invite you, as you begin thinking about this reflecting, to just reflect on the ways in which you are blessing and eating and listening and learning. You know, to think each week about who am I blessing and how and why and when? Who am I eating with? How am I listening to the Spirit? What am I hearing? How am I learning as much as I can about Jesus? Now, when I say reflecting, and we'll dig deeper on this in just a minute, I'm not asking you to just kind of think in passing while brushing your teeth in the morning, but I'm asking you to actually go letters to words to sentences on a page, right? Now, it doesn't have to be pen and paper. If you live in the digital reality and would rather do thumbs on a device, that's fine, but I'm asking you to reflect in the form of a journal on the ways in which you're living your sentness. Now again, I said we'd dig deeper into the wholeness part of that. And this for me is what Jesus is doing in that Luke text from which we read just a couple of minutes ago. There is, as kind of the background to this text, again, maybe open your Bible to Luke 7 if you want to take a look at this with me. Before we even dig into Luke 7, into that text, at the very end of Luke 6, as background, Jesus is teaching, and there's the story about the two people who build houses on different foundations. I suspect that's familiar to many of you if you have spent time in Sunday school environments or were raised in the church. Jesus says that there are some people who will hear his words and do what he says, and they are like a person who builds a house on a foundation of rock. When the storms come, the house will not be destroyed. And then he says there are people who hear his words but choose not to do those things, and they're like a person who builds a house on sand, and when the storms of life come, that house would be demolished and washed away. Immediately after that teaching, at the beginning of Luke 7, we hear about some of the healings of Jesus. He heals the centurion's servant. He raises the widow's son at Nain. And then, as we get into that text from which Heather read, beginning in the 18th verse, there is this question. Some of John the Baptist's followers go to John because they've heard the things that Jesus is doing and the things that he is saying. And they say to John, "Do you think he's the one? You know, do you think this Jesus is the one who we've been waiting for, or is it maybe somebody else?" And John the Baptist pushes them to go to talk to Jesus, to ask him. And they go to ask, "Are you the one who we're waiting for, or is there somebody else who will come?" And in verses 21 and 22, Jesus begins to paint a picture of the work that he's doing, the wholeness for which he is striving. Verse 21, "Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, 'You go and you tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them.'" The wholeness for which Jesus is working in this coming reign and rule of God is a wholeness that is experienced when blind can now see and the lame can walk, when lepers are cleansed and deaf can hear, when dead are raised, and when the poor have good news brought to them. Anytime we are doing that work, we are helping paint for the world around us an image of this coming reign and rule of God. I suspect that when the pastor says, "I want you to journal about this," some of you hear that from me like I heard from my mom for 20 years of my life. "You should really journal some. It would be good for you," right? I said, maybe you say, yeah, "I know," and then kind of move on with your life, right? Maybe. So here's the push that I want to make if you're asking yourself as you sit there today, why journal? What is it about this? I liken it to this. I wear on my wrist a Garmin running watch, but it has a lot of the same functions as any kind of a Fitbit or a fitness tracker. I wonder, just to kind of feel out the room here for a minute, in the last 5 years or so, if you have worn or owned or been gifted or thought about wearing some kind of a fitness tracker, would you raise your hand? I know you don't like to like audience participate. It makes you uncomfortable, but raise your hand. If you know somebody, and at 8:15 service, somebody said to me, it's not fair because you already said you're wearing one, and then you asked if we know somebody, and of course we know you. Okay, noted. If you know somebody other than me who wears one of these devices, raise your hand, right? Pretty clear that they are everywhere, right? Why do we wear these things? Anybody? We wear them because they help us track things that we think matter to us. If you're not familiar with how this works, somehow I think it's magic. It keeps track of how far I've walked and how many flights of steps I've climbed, and it makes estimates on how many calories I've burned, and then it syncs via Bluetooth to my phone, and I can look at my phone, and it will tell me how I'm doing and where I have room for improvement, and I can look at these bar graphs of the weeks and the months and how things unfold over time. We monitor and pay attention to the things that are important to us, and to the ways in which we want to grow. And what I'm asking you to do is to reflect intentionally and put pen to paper or computer text on the screen how you're doing, living out your sentness, blessing and eating, listening, learning, how you're painting for the world around you a picture of the coming reign and rule of God. Now, is this hard, what I'm asking you to do? Not just to journal, but this whole exercise, to bless 3 people, really, Pastor? To eat with 3 people, really? To listen, to learn, to reflect on your sentness? It might be. And I was really made aware of that this week. Heather and I had lunch earlier in the week with some of her family, and if you asked me, to pick like the 2 most churchy people, is that fair? Like that I could picture or that I would know, it might be these 2 members of Heather's family. I mean, they are incredible saints. They are devoted to their church. They are devoted to Christ. They are musicians and they're in worship all the time and they have leadership positions in their church. And so while we were eating lunch, Heather started to tell them about this whole Bell's experiment. And she said, we're going to bless 3 people. We're going to eat with 3 people. We're going to listen for a fixed period of time for the Spirit. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to reflect and journal on our sentness. And this woman kind of sat back in her chair and said, whoa, that feels like a lot to have to do. No enthusiasm, no energy, no joy. No, I mean, just kind of this overwhelming, whoa, that feels like a lot to have to do. And so maybe it is a lot that's different than how we normally live. And I suspect that if we feel like it's something that we have to do, then it will just kind of feel, ugh. And if you do these things and you just feel guilt and shame and obligation and pressure, my guess is it won't be terribly rewarding. My invitation and my hope would be that you would consider exploring and experimenting with what it means to live in this way, because it's different and because it is a questionable existence for the world around us. Is it hard? Maybe. Maybe it means stopping doing some other things in order to do these things. I know over the course of the last couple of months, as I've been experimenting with this and living into this, I have found that if I just stop scrolling mindlessly through social media for 5 minutes, that 5 minutes is plenty of time to write a card of affirmation and encouragement and blessing to somebody, right? Now, I don't know, maybe you waste 5 minutes doing something some days when you could use that time to send a card and to bless others. I know that if I would choose in the evening to stream 1 less episode of whatever it is that I am streaming from Netflix currently, I would have time to open up the Bible and read the Gospels and learn what I can about Jesus. Again, I don't know about you, but maybe you spend time in front of a screen throughout the course of a week that you could dedicate differently. And I know that when I stop saying yes to all of the things, just so I say yes to the things, so that I have things to do, so that I make people happy, so that I feel important because I'm busy. Anybody else? If I step away from the yes It gives me time to engage my neighbors and my family and the people around me in different ways. What we are talking about is those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus, leaning into that, doing things differently for the sake of sharing God's love in the world around us. And so it might be hard, but I believe absolutely that it's worth it and that it can make all the difference in our lives and in the lives of all of the people where we work and live and play. Again, as I think about the fitness tracker, I meet people, and I will confess sometimes I am that person, right, who says, I really want to lose some weight, and then I don't change anything, right, about what I eat or how I exercise, and then, you know, months pass, and you go, huh, I still haven't lost that weight. Or you hear people say, I really want to get more fit, you know, I want to be active and energetic and be able to spend time with my grandkids, I want to be more fit. And then they never go for a walk or exercise, and nothing changes. It's like somebody saying, I really want to improve my skills at playing the piano, and they never sit down at the piano and never take a lesson. We do not change and we do not grow if we don't work and invest and sacrifice. And I believe the same is true as we seek to be followers of Jesus. Is it a challenge? Maybe. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. And so I want to encourage you as we move through the rest of the summer. I know back to school season is quickly upon us. It is easy, and the temptation is always before you, like, well, this is great. The pastor's done with this sermon series. I don't have to listen to this stuff about bells anymore. I encourage you to resist that temptation and to lean into these challenges, to continue to experiment and to explore and to play, to be gentle and gracious with yourself if you feel like you're failing. Please let go of that language, if at all possible. But simply to explore with what it looks like and what it means to live questionable lives by blessing at least 3 people every week, one of whom's not connected to your community of faith, by eating with at least 3 people every week, at least one of whom's not connected to your community of faith, by listening to the work of the Spirit, by learning as much as you can about Jesus, and by being intentional about reflecting, journaling on your sentness and what it means to be a people who go. At the very close of Matthew's gospel, remember, there's the invitation and there's the challenge, but there's also the promise. And it took one of the commentaries that I read this week for the light bulb to go off in my head. The commentator observed that at the very close of the gospel, Jesus promises, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, when we read the stories of Jesus' birth, we read about one who is born, who will walk among us, who we will know as Emmanuel, God with us. That same Jesus promises to be Emmanuel, God with us, as we seek to live as sent people in all of those places that we work, that we live, and that we play. Will you join me in praying together? God, we are grateful for your love, for the stories from Scripture that call us, that comfort us, that challenge us. Many of us in this room have been living as followers of Jesus for a long time. And we desire for that same difference that a relationship with you makes to us to be a reality in the lives of our children or our grandchildren or our neighbors or our coworkers. Maybe we've even tried inviting people and then struggled to explain to them why a connection to a community like this matters. Some of us in the room today, God, maybe aren't even sure why we're here, wondering if you're even real, and if you are real, if you even care about us. And so we pray that you would speak words of comfort or of challenge as needed to each one of us. as we continue to reflect on what it looks like and what it means to take the next step in our following of you, to reflect on how we might live differently, to live questionable lives for the sake of sharing your love in all those places we work and live and play. We are grateful for your love, O God. We are grateful for the promise of your Spirit that is with us always, and we are hopeful for how your love will make a difference in our lives and through us make a difference in the lives of those around us. All of this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. May the benediction that I offer most every week continue to invite you, challenge you, push you to live questionable lives. As you think about, is it worth talking to that person that I don't really know? Is it worth eating with somebody I don't really know? Is it worth taking my valuable time and setting some aside to listen? Is it worth it really to read the Gospels again? Like, I've read them once, I kind of get the gist, right? I invite you to lean in and to live differently for your sake and for the sake of the world around you. As you go from this place today, may you live your lives in such a way that all who see you are going to ask some questions and might just want to know your God. Go in peace. Amen.